Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I think you'll care when I tell you what the complaint is. I think there's been a rape up there.
All right. It's the Malcolm Go podcast. 10-21, 2020. That was Sturgill Simpson with All the Pretty Colors off his new album, Cutting Grass, Volume 1. A little bit of bluegrass, Tyler, to bring us into the week after a brutal showing this past weekend by Cam and the Boys.
If I had to guess, Sturgill Simpson died in like the 60s.
No, Sturgill Simpson is doing just fine.
What do you mean he put out a new album?
He put out, that's him, that was his brand new album. Well, it's covers of his, it's basically him covering himself, but in bluegrass.
How old is this guy?
I don't know, my age. He's like mid-30s, maybe
he's
late
like
30s.
He's like up and coming.
Well, he's like a country music, like he's star? Like, he's like an out, what do they call it? Like an outlaw country guy. Like he's like an underground, just like an outlaw country. He's not like
hates Nashville.
All yeah, I don't think he's like Nashville. He's not a Nashville guy. Right. He's like from Kentucky, drinks bourbon and like doesn't sing about like blue jeans and cigarettes and Bud Light on a Friday night.
As much as I hate country music, that's how much I like outlaw country.
Yeah.
Outlaw country.
Outlaw
is the
country
best.
Is badass. Like you remember like. Kind of how I got into Sturgill Simpson was I would listen to, you remember the movie Crazy Train with Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
The Dude, for some of you who don't know him by name. But so that was a good movie, and he sang in it, and that's kind of like outlaw country. It was like just guys that like travel around the road, and they sing about like love and shit, like drugs and drinking and shit.
I listened to
in like little saloons around the South.
I was in the Towns Van Zandt for like 6 months, and then I like it was only like years later I was like, oh, I was depressed because you can't listen to that guy and not feel you like you want to like just crash your car. Like
it's amazing. Like I listen to this stuff and I'm like happy and I'm like, this guy wants to kill himself.
Yeah, every
and,
time.
Yeah, it's same thing with like comedians, but most of them are suicidal.
Yeah.
I say suicidal. Most of them are suicidal, but they're trying to make you laugh. Yeah, and then I listened to Ryan Bingham, who wrote like most of the songs on Crazy Train. Okay, I keep saying Crazy Train. Is it Crazy Train? What is it? Crazy Heart. Crazy Heart. Crazy Train is an old, way outdated song by Ozzy Osbourne. I think leads us into the podcast because that's how the Patriots come out to.
It does lead still. Us into the pod.
And Crazy Heart. And Ryan Bingham wrote most of those songs and he used to come up on Pandora, Sturgill Simpson. And now he's getting bigger and bigger. People seem to love him now. But anyway, check it out. It just came out like, I think, last Friday.
I'll pop some Sturgill in.
Yeah, throw some Sturgill Simpson on. Enjoy yourself. Have a Xanax and go to sleep. Anyway, what a week. Disaster at Foxborough. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I don't know. I feel like Patriots has played like absolute dog shit. And when you think about it, there's always that September. I know it's October, but as always, you got to consider this. The Patriots had no offseason, no preseason. So figure your first four games are basically your preseason games in this league year. So in reality, October is September. And the Patriots are doing their annual September L.
I don't
bad
even.
Bad loss.
It didn't really feel like that. I mean, a little bit, but like the defense played great.
Yeah. And they played lights out.
From start to finish, they had just a great game.
They did. I thought they were great. They had a few mistakes. I mean, like the 35-yard bomb to that
kind of
wide receiver on 3rd and 21.
Yeah.
I don't think that happened at all last year.
Like, they should have got the ball back.
When's the last time they gave up a 3rd and 15 or more? No, I can't tell you when.
That was a bad one. But they made like every play they needed to get back in the game.
Yeah. Two big picks. I mean, they had the game. What was it? John Jones had his best game as a pro.
I said that they have three Pro Bowl cornerbacks on the team.
Yes. They have, I mean, Gilmore is playing a lot of zone for some reason. Gilmore, Jackson, and Jones is playing well. I don't know if he's a Pro Bowler, but Devin McCourty should be all pro safety this year. He's playing out of his mind.
Where Jason McCourty
he's falling apart.
Is there a clipboard he can grab? I mean, let's get him on the sidelines.
Belichick is still doing the thing where he starts Jason McCourty, because I think he just wants like J.C. Jackson to like be humbled. He doesn't seem, I don't know, for some reason, I think he went to Florida State first and got kicked off the team, and then went to Maryland. It was not really all that good, but he was a super high recruit to Florida State. He was like a top, you know, 20 recruit or something to Florida State, and got kicked off the team or something for something. And then,
plenty of people get kicked off the college football team. Could happen to really, you know, just a good guy.
It doesn't matter. You can gain 30 pounds over a summer if you hit the gym real hard. And so he was like, then he went to Maryland and didn't play great. He was fine. So he goes undrafted to the NFL. And I think this Belichick's still trying to humble him. Like, put the good leader in front of him. And then, like, okay, he'll make a mistake, like, in the first quarter, and then I'll put you in. That's basically what happens now. Like, Jason is good, but J.C. Jackson is just 10 times better.
J.C. Jackson is probably our best cornerback this year. I mean, Gilmore, it's you know, always that like, oh, what are they playing? Who are they covering type thing? But like, J.C. Jackson looks awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do after this year. Like, he is a restricted free agent, so you can't really lose him. They're going to have to put a first round tender on him. For an undrafted free agent, that's ridiculous. Like, somebody could easily, a cornerback needy team would easily pay him and give us a first round pick, like easily.
Yeah,
that's like a no brainer. Like they'll first round tender him, and if nobody signs him, they'll keep him.
And the Patriots don't really have that thing of, you know, he left and then they were horrendous. Like Logan Ryan's been good.
Yeah,
Malcolm Butler struggled.
He struggled his first year, but he seems like he's settled in. I don't know if he's going to live up to that contract he got, but
no, but he's still starting. Which yeah. If you're a cornerback, like, if you kind of fall off, you don't fall off a little. You fall off a cliff.
Yeah,
and you're just bad.
You're basically toast. Yeah, exactly. So, there was the stretch, the longest time, I mean, when he just, like, Belichick just couldn't draft a corner that made he did. I read an article one time about him, like, just projecting offenses wrong. He was projecting, like, because they weren't allowing you to, like, hit and tug and, you know, kind of like the Ty Law rules. So he kind of went opposite. He thought, I'll go small and fast cover guys. So that's where you got your, like, Will Heights, your Wheatleys, and all these guys he was drafting, Rozai Dowling, stuff like that. And then after a while, he was like, they're letting him like play a little bit more. So he just got man-to-man corners that, you know, could play tight on a guy, push him around in the first 10 yards and cover deep. And like, he hasn't missed since.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He just started pulling undrafted free agents out of his ass. Like,
and then he goes after, like, we talked about him last week, but Duggar, again, he couple like
big blow-ups.
Couple big mistakes he made. Like, there was one play with they had one high safety and he had outside leverage, which is just impossible. You're not gonna cover, you're covering someone in the slot and you have no help in the middle.
Yeah.
You have to cover the middle, force him to throw outside, and then maybe make him. But and he just got completely beat on the third down. It was like right across the middle for like 25 yards.
That had to be a Duggar lining up mistake.
Absolutely, yeah. They're just they were lining up in a lot of spots like that. So, I mean, a couple mistakes. But then he makes some plays where you're like, oh shit, this guy is
like he's a bull. He's gonna learn. He's just gonna learn. You know, I mean, he's a second round pick, but I mean, he's basically, you know, he's our first pick, so he's the best player on. I mean, that they wanted this year. They traded back several times because they knew that they can get him mid-second round, early second round. And I get impressed when he's on the field. I mean, he makes stops on big tight ends, hits hard like a bull.
And in his college film, like, he looked like he was massive when he was on the field.
He was embarrassing people.
It was like crazy. It was like Derrick Henry in high school, like that. Yeah. The video that surfaces every once in a while.
I mean, somebody put it up because I saw it last week. It was the after Derrick Henry either ran for like a million yards or like he was playing or something. But someone was like, LOL, just remembered Derrick Henry's high school football stats. And I looked him up. 4,400 yards. I was like, man, that guy did crazy in high school. That was his senior year. He ran for 4,000 yards in his senior year.
He had like 600-yard games.
Yeah, he really did. He had like, their team lost three games. How does your running back run for 4,400 yards in a season and you lose three games? That's how good Florida football is.
Yeah.
Like, they were winning games like, they must have had no passing game and no defense whatsoever because it was like they were winning games like 39-30 and losing games like 56-51.
Well, they put up Georgia and Alabama played this weekend.
Yeah.
And they put up, it was like something like 50% of the players from Georgia and Alabama from Florida.
Yeah.
It's like they're number two and number three in the country.
Just legitimately stopped recruiting anywhere but Florida. They have like every single one of those players, they'll get like one or two from New York, three or four from New Jersey, and then the rest are what's left in Florida. They literally, like, if you don't go to an SEC school in Florida, you just go to Syracuse, like, and then you play there. Start. Like, because our best players, Syracuse's best players are all from Florida. They're just fucking, literally, like, they couldn't step on the field in the SEC, so they had to go up to the, maybe the worst ACC school this year.
Do you think you could play right now?
I can't walk out the door without without spraining my ankle.
I had to sit down with all the guys at work. I was like, I'm thinking like maybe like a 20-minute stretch before we start today. Just a quick, you know.
We'll just enjoy ourselves, have a hot tea.
Yeah, a quick stretch, so like a little yoga, and someone called me a
faggot. Do you think I could play what?
I asked if you guys wouldn't mind stretching for a bit, and I was called a faggot and told to get
he'll
away
get
from
to
us.
Work
yeah.
And also get my coffee, newbie.
But do you think right now, do you think you could play on a Florida freshman football team?
Yeah. I mean, because all the, I mean, I don't know. Do the freshmen
it's
like.
It's hard to think about. Like,
I don't know.
No how, freshman.
They're
who,
so fast.
They can't move up. Like, they if you're a freshman, like.
You have to play freshman.
You have to play freshman. So I'm sure there's some freshmen that
have
are
you
like,
seen a freshman in high school? I mean, a Massachusetts freshman in high school
what I'm saying.
Is like
it's,
a baby.
It sounds ridiculous, but then it's like at some point, like.
You got to put the pads on.
Derrick Henry was. When
he was
a freshman.
Yeah, but he's one out of a million. Whoever looked like him. There's like.
All the. Well, I'm just saying. So Alabama, like all the guys at Alabama. Like,
yeah. If you asked me to play like JV at. Like, you know, on the what do you call it? Like the nuts team at Alabama. I'd never say I could do that. But like, if you wanted me to play like maybe a couple downs of Florida football, I'll fucking go down there, fucking knock some skulls around I watched a great.
What position would you play? Do you think you could play?
No, I couldn't do anything with speed.
You'd have to be nose guy.
Yeah, like a D tackle, something like that. I'd fucking whip around a fucking fat little guard turd. I'd probably have 2 sacks.
I think I would get hurt. I don't think I could.
I'd definitely get hurt, but I could play.
I don't think I could go an entire drive without a groin or something.
And I also wouldn't play by the rules of today because I was a headhunter through and through. I'd hit people in the back. I would helmet. I used to ear hole kids every day. I led with the helmet. I didn't play football. I played an illegal thing that was in the arena.
You can still get away with that. There's still only like 3 refs, and one of them
high
has,
school refs are like, usually.
If it's raining, you never realize this. But if it's raining and the ref has glasses, that guy can't see.
I was really a bad person playing football. I was not good at anything. I knew, and I didn't try at all. I knew we were terrible, so I was like, ugh. And I was always scared about. That's when my anxiety really kicked off. Was like 10th through 12th grade. I didn't know anything about anxiety. I didn't know it ran in the family or anything. And one day in 10th grade, I thought I was dying. And I literally thought I was going to have a heart attack and die. My chest couldn't breathe. I went to the nurse, and the nurse says, the fucking school nurse, and I quote, says, "I don't hear air going into your left lung." So I'm like, okay, so that's it for me. She's like, "Sit on the couch until your dad comes." I was like, "Sit on the couch? You just told me air is not coming in my lungs."
Who says that?
And the fucking, I was like, "You calling an ambulance?" She's like, "No, you'll be fine." And I was like, she's like, "Well, you got two." So, all right. So my dad comes and gets me. We go to the hospital. The guy's like, "You've got anxiety." And my dad was like, "Ugh, I left work because you have anxiety."
You know what's funny is you think Sopranos would have helped a little bit for you guys.
I don't even know if I saw it by then.
That's all Tony did was have panic attacks. And he didn't know how to deal with them. It's
So that year was not, I think, 2000. I think that's when The Sopranos came out. Maybe that's why I started having panic attacks.
You guys still got eye rolls?
Yeah. Well, my dad was like, ugh. I remember he would, because him and my brother Frankie don't get it. And they just skipped them. And my dad just doesn't understand anxiety or that at all. He's like, what are you talking? Just makes him physically ill.
Go to work.
No, there was a real thing that happened this summer where I went to his house and in Maine, and it was 100. It was legitimately 150 degrees out.
I think I was there.
Or maybe you were. Yeah, and my eye just, this wasn't fake because I held it together. I held it together because, in my old days, we would have been at the ER. So, anyway, I had sunglasses on. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't see. And, my peripheral vision was just gone, literally 100% gone. And I'm like, did something get in my eye? No. And I couldn't see anything. I was just looking straight, pinholes, and then my head started to hurt. So then my brain starts going. The fucking roller coaster starts going. I'm like, am I having a stroke? And I start drinking water, and I look in the mirror in the bathroom by myself, splash myself with cold water. I'm like, you're fine. And then I still had a headache. And then eventually my eyesight came back. I don't know what it was, but my sister-in-law was convinced it was a stress headache. It might have been a mini stroke. I'm not sure.
Dom got diagnosed with what? Was it cerebral?
Cerebral palsy.
He got diagnosed with something where it's like he stopped having.
He used to say he had night blindness. Is that a thing?
No. He couldn't control the left side of his face.
Oh, Bell's palsy.
Bell's palsy.
I got that before. So
yeah,
that is something about me that the Malcolm Gove listeners might not know is that I'm prone to ridiculous diseases that no one's ever had or heard of. And I've come down with some weird things before. I got bit by a tick in the 9th grade or 10th grade, and I went to football practice because I'm not a pussy. So this all comes full circle. Yeah. Thanks you for bringing that up. Comes full circle. And my coach, the story goes, I was, sleeping over at my buddy's house. It was summer night because it was it was football, training camp season, whatever. And we were sleeping over. We were going to go to practice in the morning. And me and my other buddy slept. I fell asleep on the floor. I think we had been drinking Budweiser diesels. We were at the pool, had some babes over, checking them out. And I fell asleep on the floor of his room, no pillow, and woke up. And I was like, ah, the fuck, my face feels numb. And I just thought it was because I slept on the floor. And it was my left face was numb. And so we're eating lunch, and his dad made corn on the cob. and I'm trying to eat it, and my left side of my face is like on it like a snail. I'm like, why can't I eat this? So again, this is like pre-anxiety. So I'm like just not thinking anything of it. I'm like, I was like slobbering on a corn on the cob. My left lip is just dangling. I couldn't open my mouth enough. I'm like, what the fuck? Can't eat this. And my friends are stupid because they were just like, you seem fine. What's wrong with your face? It's just like numb. How long is this going to be numb for? His parents didn't say a word. Oh, sorry. It's my right side of my face. So whatever. They didn't say a word. So my mom picks me up. We're going to football practice and I'm sitting in shotgun as I would. And so obviously my left side's facing her and she can't tell the difference because my left side's working perfectly normal. So we get to football practice and she's like, I was like, Ma, something's wrong with my face. And I turn around and the look in her eye was like, oh my God, my son is literally dying. She thought that I had a stroke again. She thought that I was having a stroke right there because my literally don't, you can't do anything. Your face doesn't move. You can't blink your eye. You can't do any of that.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. And then I went to, so I was like, I can't miss football because I was scared to death of my coaches. And I was like, I got to get in there. And I went in and my best friend growing up was like, dude, something's wrong. You got to go to the hospital. And, you know, the older kids were busting my balls and making fun of me. Like, man, and they were calling me JR from WWF because he had Bell's palsy. I didn't know what the fuck that meant. I just thought like your face was numb. I'm like, is this permanent? Is this me for life now? And, I had a red target on my arm, on my bicep, and that's what you get when you get bit by a tick.
Ooh.
So I was like, fuck. And the coach is like, you can't practice. Like, you gotta go. So I was like, all right. So I called my mom back on the payphone, of all things. I think I 1-800-COLLECTED. The old move was call 1-800-COLLECT when you don't have a cell phone. Call your mom and just yell when they ask you what your name is. You go, Mom, pick me up, and just hope she gets it and picks you up. So I did that. She shows up. And we go to the doctor, and I got bit by a tick, and they said I had the beginning stages of Lyme disease, and I got Bell's palsy. It's like a 1 in 10,000 chance people get it. And then my brother gets it, same thing. I don't know what he got it from. Probably something in a bathroom stall, I would assume.
Yeah, his face didn't work for like a week.
Yeah, he got the same thing. And you have to take horse pills. And I couldn't shut my eye to go to sleep. I had to like tape my eye shut to go to sleep. It was, luckily, it was like 2 weeks before school started, so it was like finally back to normal right when I got up to school, once the first day of school. Otherwise, nobody would have ever talked to me. I would have just been retard face for the remainder of my high school career.
It would have altered your entire life.
Yeah. I practiced the next day, though. I'm fucking get my hand in the dirt.
I used to get those things when you wake up in the middle of the night and your eyes are the only things
that
wakes up and the rest of your body is still. So like
you, sleep paralysis?
You're trying to move your body, you can't, and it takes like a couple minutes to like kick your body into gear.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
I had that all the time.
That's like a dead body.
Biggest fear I had.
So you wake up and your eyes are like, you'd be literally with your eyes open.
My eyes are open, my brain is working, like I'm awake.
Could you talk if you wanted to?
You can't talk. Because you want to scream, but you can't control your body. And my biggest
your
fear
boy
was
would have a panic attack
that someone would break into the house,
yeah.
And then I would wake up, but I wouldn't be able.
But
to
But you
move,
can't move because your dumb eyes are
stuck.
There.
Yeah,
stuck in your body. What's that called?
I used to get that like I don't know 3 or 4 times a week for years.
3 or 4 times a week
for years.
Did they give you medicine?
I never went to the doctor. I didn't tell anyone.
Just stopped.
It. Yeah, it doesn't. It happens very rare. Maybe once every 6 months.
You're
now,
just okay with it.
I mean, what am I going to do?
Once every 6 months and you just wake up and your eye, and you're like, all right, can't move yet.
You're like,
just
you're
wait.
Like, oh, you're trying to jerk your body. And then eventually, like, if you concentrate, like, after a couple of minutes, you can move your hand. And then, like, once your hand starts moving, everything
that's
else starts
kicking
in.
That's fucking bananas. And you need to go to the doctor.
I don't think.
This is not a that's not okay. I've never even heard of such a thing. You're just dead body on your and like, your mind's working.
Like what I think a coma must be, which is like this, you want to scream too. Like you can't, you think like you'll just scream, but you can't scream either. You can't, you
nothing
can't
works except for your eyes.
Yeah. So
that's like
you're awake.
That's like, what's that disease? Lou Gehrig's disease. Is that what it is? It's like your body, like your brain and your eyes work and your body is just doesn't. That's like what it is.
See, this is why you have panic attacks. Just,
but that's what it is.
Like, I rub it off as, oh, I'm just not awake yet. Like, yeah, no, and I'll wake up, no, and then they go away.
No, 100% I'd be in the ALS center, like, pushing people off their wheelchairs, needing my tests. Like, I didn't wake up right today, doc. Can you fucking test me?
You go into a complete fear.
No, I go to the absolute nth degree worst case scenario. Where you should be.
I have Lou Gehrig's disease.
I'm quite certain you have Lou Gehrig's disease, but only for the first few minutes of the day.
To me, it's not. It happens in the middle of the night. It's not during in the morning.
Oh, it's not when you first. So in the middle of the night, you wake
up. I'll like wake up.
Are we sure it's not a dream state?
Yeah, I'm positive because you get up. Yeah, you're awake after. Because then it jolts you a little bit when you can't move your body and you think, oh, fuck, I'm paralyzed. Like, that's the thought. I get that thought. I used to get it all the time. Like, fuck, this time I'm paralyzed. Like,
this one's like going longer than usual.
Like, you leave your dog at home and you're like,
this. Tell your girlfriend. Like, you just, she'll, like, wake you up and you'll be like, this is, like, you just stare at her like a psychopath for 30 seconds.
No, it used to just happen when I would be in by myself. It never really happened.
It's like how Michael Jackson died. Like, are you taking propofol before you go to sleep? Just get Nothing. To get into a deep sleep and you just wake up at fucking 2 a.m. and dead body and eyes work.
I take algae pills and vitamin C. That's it.
There's got to be some. You got to go to the doctor. I can't believe that you never just told your mom and she was just like, nah, it's fine. Fuck you. Have some orange juice.
My mother's not really that type of mother. Like, no. You wouldn't be like, yeah, she wouldn't really. She would forget. You'd be like, Mom, I have this thing. And then like a week later, like, remember that thing I told you about? And she'd be like, yeah, I don't know.
You
no,
could take
what
the bus.
Is it? Yeah, like she doesn't really.
I'm not driving it. You yeah. for that silly disease you made up. It doesn't exist. Oh, that's fucked up. That I was just thinking about.
But that all started because this whole thing went back to me thinking how Duggar looks bigger than most. Like, he looks big on the NFL field.
He does
for a safety.
I mean, he was a he's. He was, yes, he was embarrassing people in Division I AA, and he looks perfectly fine at the NFL, and I don't think they're going to bring Patrick Chung back, or Brooks. Maybe they'll just get rid of Brooks and have Chung be the backup.
Well, I think Chung might retire. He's kind of old, and if he didn't want to play this year, it felt like a year, like, Hightower, too, like, he's played a lot of football.
Yes. I mean, you got 3 Super Bowl championships. What do you got to come back for? Come back to a team that, with Cam Newton starting, and they can't fucking throw the ball? Julian Edelman is fucking ready to call it quits.
Yeah, he's kind of done. Well,
I think he's just fucking had it. Like,
he's lost a step too.
I don't know if he's lost it. He's definitely hurt. His knee hurts.
Yeah.
He looks fine when he gets the ball. Like, the first few games, he looked good. Like, definitely against Seattle and Miami. And then he got hit so hard so many times in Seattle, I think it just took a toll. And his knee's, like, really hurting him. And the coaches are like, listen, if you don't play, we are fucking dead. There is nobody left.
Yeah, I mean, I'm chalking this game up to not practicing.
Yeah, 2 weeks, no practices, but it just sucks because, like, I had, like, a 13-3 record, like, implanted in my head, and the Broncos was a definite win, so now that kind of fucked me. But I also had San Francisco as a definite loss and Houston as a definite, as a win. So, who knows? If they can beat San Francisco, I'll feel a lot better.
I think they can. San Francisco at home.
Yeah, this week.
That's a winnable game. So, yeah, the offense felt like, it just felt like they were just kind of, like, the only player we have is Cam Newton running the ball.
Who didn't, by the way.
He had, like, 70 yards. He led the team rushing.
Yeah, at the end of the game.
Yeah.
We have to talk about the fact that, so many things I want to talk about Cam Newton. One, what are you doing holding the ball forever? I mean,
well, I'm assuming no one's open.
It doesn't matter. Like, your game, since you've been on TV at Auburn or wherever, fucking probably since you were 3 years old, was look at the first two guys. If they're not open, run as fast as you can.
You can't.
And the coaches are clearly telling him not to do that.
Yeah, you can't do that because, like,
he's going to get hurt, but I don't care.
And then you have no quarterback come, you know, playoff time. So we can't have a banged up guy.
They're giving him the Gronk treatment of, like, yes. Don't do this unless yes, absolutely have to.
And he's good enough where he really kind of shouldn't have to. His receivers should be better.
Well, look, if they're not open, we have to get yards somehow. You can't sit there and just take a sack because you've been holding the ball for 6 seconds. That first sack he took was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, sitting there for 5 seconds, and the linebacker was just out there, like, 15 yards away. And you could, like, he's like, is Cam going to throw the, is he going to go? And he was just like, fuck it, I'll rush. And he rushed and destroyed him in the back. You couldn't tell that he was going to come because he was holding the ball forever.
I mean, yeah, there was a couple, but that sack was real bad. The one where he got stripped and the ball was just loose.
Yeah.
And then he came up with that ball.
Which I liked, by the way.
He went in hard.
I had a terrible, I still have that terrible thing in my head of him in the Super Bowl. When he got sacked and I'm sorry, when he fumbled.
Dropped, yeah,
when he got fumbled and he like juked the ball out to not like die for it.
Yeah.
So
sometimes I mean,
I think he must have been hearing that for a while. Because he fucking went in there like it was his heart he had to put back in his chest.
I mean the pitcher is probably a little worse than like
oh no, I've seen the GIF. Before Cam was on the team, I've tweeted that GIF so many times. Because I was like oh, we need Cam. I was like, first of all, Tom Brady would die. This is Tony way back, not now. Tony back in the day was like, Tom Brady would die for a fumble in a preseason game. This is Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. I know I've tweeted something along those lines.
I'm sure, more than once.
I might have to find it and delete it.
But yeah, the turnovers obviously,
killing them. They can't throw it. What do they have? Two throwing touchdowns this year? Passing touchdowns?
Yeah, I'm not even sure.
Like, it's less than five. It's maybe three, max. I mean, they threw one to the fullback, threw one to Harry by Stidham.
Didn't Cam throw, like, four against Seattle?
No.
No, he ran.
He ran for three.
Three, yeah.
Threw for one to the, what's-his-face, to the fullback, Johnson.
Yeah.
Or Johnson. And he threw for, and then Stidham threw one. I couldn't tell you who caught the second one.
Maybe Izzo?
No, he didn't catch it.
Izzo looked good, and then he made that play, and you're like, oh, the offense is moving.
Finally,
and then Izzo
and then he fumbles.
Fumbles.
Like, the mistakes were just crippling. I mean, that fumble, I don't think the Newton didn't lose the fumble. But
he lost another one.
Did he lose one?
He lost one when they were marching, like inside the 40.
I know that he threw that terrible interception, which was the other thing I wanted to bring up.
Both
is that,
of them were tipped. So they're like weird.
Tipped by the D lineman that caught the ball. Like,
that
clearly,
was a sick play.
You have to throw it over him. Like, throw it over the lineman. Yeah. You're 6'5". He has to be... I don't know if somebody fucking takes down these stats, but I'm telling you right now that Cam Newton has the ball tipped more than any quarterback in NFL history. I've never seen anything like it. He must have the ball tipped six times a game.
I think what he does
D-lineman.
Is he... I can't ever remember him pump faking.
How can he pump fake when nobody's open? Pretend throw to somebody.
But at least it's something. At least it might help. But like he never pump fakes. So like I think these D linemen are just like, all right, watch Cam. We're expect him to rush and wait for him to come to you. And then as soon as he goes to throw, jump because he's not going to pump fake.
Because maybe they don't rush hard enough. Yeah, maybe they don't rush hard enough because he's like such a run threat. So they don't come hard. And then they wait if they don't get there or even get close, they just sit back and wait for him to throw when he doesn't pump fake. You're probably right. I don't know. Maybe it's going to get coached out of him because I swear to God, he must have got the ball tipped five times last game. Two of them were intercepted.
He also runs a screen pass like the same way I would run a screen pass if I got put in the NFL.
Terrified.
Tomorrow. Just panic. Please be open. You're not open yet. He's going to be open soon. Good
it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Throw it in his chest as hard as I can.
He just stares him down like completely.
If James White wasn't so good at catching ridiculous passes,
and then
we'd have zero receptions on screen passes this year.
Oh, no. And he somehow makes like two guys miss when they're like on top of him.
Yeah.
It's like it's insane.
He's so good. It's there's so much wrong with this offense. And I get it. They didn't step on the field for 2 weeks.
Sony going down, oddly enough, it's like that was kind of weird. I guess that happened a while ago now, but it felt like
it hurt him, but not really. I mean, Harris stepped up and did just fine in Kansas City,
but not this game. They
nobody
not
could.
Run.
I mean,
well, the offensive line is also like Andrews.
They were missing. Out. Yeah, so the Andrews was out. They lost their backup right tackle in the game. Cam fell on him and like hurt his leg.
Shaq Mason's out.
Shaq Mason was out with COVID that he didn't even have. So they had Wynn playing left guard, which he doesn't play. He plays left tackle. They had Tooney playing center, which he plays left guard. They had Onwenu playing right guard, who's good. And then they had Illuminor, who was that guy that got hurt. And he was like, he's a backup right tackle.
Uwenu
and then Heron, a rookie playing left tackle. And then
it's a weird,
because they had three non-starters in, and then the other guys that were starters were playing different positions.
In all the positions that you would expect them, like, I feel like the Pats shore up kind of opposite of like other teams. Like other teams like start from the outside in on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Where the Pats go inside out.
Yeah.
Like their best players are always their left guard.
Always the left guard.
Like Mankins was better than Matt Light the entire time he was here.
Yeah. I think that the
Tooney's
left guard
been a beast.
I mean, they have much more responsibility, like pulling and all that shit. Where the left tackle seems to be kind of like block the best pass rusher. That's basically all he has to do.
Yeah.
And then where the left guard and the center. Center like calls the line, does all that shit, and the left guard pulls and fucking.
And Shaq Mason is just rock solid.
Yeah, Shaq Mason is great.
He's like Gerard Mayo of an offensive line. Like he's just there every time, doing everything he needs to do.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, you had three offensive linemen out, two playing out of position. I don't know what the thinking was there. Like, all right, I get it. Put Tooney at center because he's the only one that knows how to do it. But leave Wynn at left tackle. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe play Heron. I don't know. There's a lot of weird things.
I don't know. And that was the worst game, but still it wasn't horrible. But they couldn't run because nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. So, like, everybody's out of position. Yeah, so maybe you practice it, but you haven't practiced in 2 weeks. So how the fuck are you going to run inside? Any of that shit.
And it's the same way, like, if you just watch this team from a distance, it's the same way of, like, watching Kansas City right now, where every week you're like, Kansas City doesn't look very good. Like,
no.
They barely beat the Patriots. They lost to Oakland. They should have lost this week. I forget who they even played.
Buffalo.
The Bills. It was like a tight
lost game. Buffalo's not great.
But they won by,
I expected Buffalo's defense to be a lot better than it is.
They won by a field goal, but whatever. But Kansas City's missing three offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So it's like if you actually like follow that team, you'd be like, oh, yeah, they're no wonder they're not playing as well as they should. And if you're an average team like the Patriots with an average offense,
you need
your linemen.
And
you lose some offensive linemen.
Especially when your entire offense is schemed around running the ball.
Everything shows up real quick.
Yeah, you're fucked. Yeah. They couldn't run any of their cam. Like, what do they have? Like, two cam design runs. One of them went for like 18, a good play. They like, executed well. And then nothing.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't do anything. No, like, no read option plays worked. Nothing worked. And Denver was just keying on Cam and just manning up the receivers, and nobody could get open.
Yeah, Harry is kind of frustrating.
Because
he's like good and bad. I mean, it's still early, and the way Belichick talks about him, you're like, well, he still likes him. He's like, yeah, I mean, he was great.
He'll probably be a Patriot for fucking 20 years, knowing Belichick. Belichick puts, like, he puts personality and, like, team-first attitude above talent most of the time. I am sick of watching him put these fucking spare parts of D2 cornerbacks on the field. Like, why did you keep Jacoby Myers if you're not going to put him on the field? Why is fucking Gunnar Olszewski taking up a spot? He does not know how to elude a tackle. The first one he does is going to be the next, will be the first one. He's never done it. When he returns punts, he goes straight forward. And yeah, he got a 30-yard gain last time, untouched. But I'm telling you, if they're, like, anybody at him, he doesn't shift like Edelman,
no.
You know what I mean? Like, when Edelman returned punts, I mean, before he went straight, he was going fucking side to side, juking out everybody. You know what I mean?
It's
evading
weird.
People. Fucking Gunner has no idea what he's doing.
When you think about the receivers, like, Edelman doesn't come to my mind. He's like the third guy I think about. I think about Harry and Bird. They're like our receivers.
Bird is the number one receiver on the team.
Bird's our best receiver by far.
And it's not even...
He's open all the time.
Is he, though? Because he only does his run comebacks. He was open deep late, and Cam underthrew him.
He was wide open.
Yeah, and Cam underthrew him, which Cam has a cannon. I don't know what happened. I know that there was a lot of talk of him hurting his hand. Like, it looked like he hit his hand on a helmet in the middle of the game, and his stats, like...
He did have some bad
dropped
throws.
Off late. We'll see. He wasn't on the report today, so maybe he just hurt his fingers during the game or something, but he missed Bird deep late. He clearly missed Harry on that last play.
Well, there's a lot of talk that Harry ran the wrong route. Who knows, really?
Nobody knows who ran the wrong route. All I know is that the two safeties blitzed, so everybody was manned up. You have to throw hot right there.
Yeah.
You there's no excuse. Like, they had Bird and Harry had 10-yard cushions. 10-yard cushions on 4th and 10. And fucking... And the safety's blitzed. Before the snap, by the way. So he had plenty of time.
I mean...
I saw it coming from the TV. So I'm like, okay, just throw to one of the receivers. Literally could have lobbed it to fucking Harry and probably got a first down. Just thrown it out to him. Wouldn't even have had to fucking snap it. You know, snap it, throw it to him at the line of scrimmage. Harry break one tackle on a corner and it's a touchdown.
Well, it's all these quarterbacks who are like always like pretty good. Like there was like Dalton, they were blitzing like nine guys sometimes. And Dalton has three guys running routes, one short, two going long, and he's just like trying to stick in there as long as he can for the deep guy to get open. It's like
stupid assholes.
It's such a simple kind of game if you just play it the right way.
I hate to say it, but like even with that offense, and I don't like doing this, and I hate that I'm saying it on this podcast, but Tom Brady would never have lost that game
to the
Denver Broncos.
Only because the
even if they couldn't run,
well, because they wouldn't have turned the ball over that much.
They wouldn't have turned it over, and Brady, there's no way Brady misses that last pass unless the wide receiver fucks it up. Like that is a simple read. Two safeties blitz, 10-yard cushion, get it somewhere as quick as possible.
Well, then you have to figure out like where the cornerback is. If he's inside and Harry ran a quick out, like you should know. Yeah.
I would have thrown it to him fucking right off the snap.
Well, that's the other thing they don't do is as well as like the great one, like Mahomes, Brady, they all, even though it's like, all right, we know they're not going to snap it at 10 seconds.
Yeah.
They still somehow make you feel like they're going to snap it at 10 seconds every time. And then they, you know, they do it again, and then they do it again, and they finally get the read, and then they, you know,
they
run the
wait
play.
Until, exactly.
But the average quarterbacks, they just wait till the snap, and then they get surprised, and then it's panic, and then you're running, and then
it's almost to a point like here, where like, at some point, I don't know, like with this team, with this group that Belichick's put out there, and Casario's put out there, it's on them to be like, okay, these guys legitimately can't figure out how to get open. So we have to just tell them where to go. Like, enough with the fucking, okay, option left, option right. Enough. No, you run a fucking out. He runs a fucking go. You run a seven route, whatever. Do whatever. You do these things. Like high school, you know what I mean? When you were in high school, they didn't say, okay, figure out where your leverage is. It's fucking go out there and run a fucking out and up. That's what the offense was.
How much...
Given I never won a game in high school, so maybe it's different someplace else.
How much do you think that, like the Julio for... Oh, Julio just feels like the wrong guy for Gilmore trade that was floating around?
For Gilmore?
That trade was floating around.
Who's making that trade? Not me.
Well,
they're
you have to factor in, like,
isn't
contracts.
Gilmore younger?
Gilmore is definitely younger. He's definitely in his prime. And Julio's on the tail end of his prime,
Yeah, Julio's 31.
But, like, what's their contract? Is, like, Julio's
probably
contract up in two, and Gilmore doesn't want... They don't want to, like, pay Gilmore for
the Gilmore's got, like...
He's locked in for a while.
He's got one more year, I think.
I thought they signed him...
No,
when
I think
they signed
him
with Jacksonville for, like, 6 years or something.
Well, they did, but this... Well, they signed him for, I think, a five-year deal. I think this is year four.
The year he made the pick.
That was his first year on the team. Well, the year that... Not... So...
They beat...
When they beat Jacksonville...
And then they beat the Rams.
And then last year they didn't make it.
And then this is his third
year.
This
is four year. This is year four. So they beat Jacksonville. He did that big diving play.
Yeah, and the Rams in the same year.
No, they lost to the Eagles that year.
He was in on the team when they lost to the Eagles.
Yes, he was.
They got him... No, Malcolm Butler was still on the team.
Yeah, he was. They both were on the team.
Wait a minute. Who did they beat the year they beat the Rams?
They beat the Chiefs on the road.
Oh, shit. He has been here for 4 years.
This is year four. He's got 1 year left. Julio Jones is, I don't know how many years he has left, but he's going to want $20 million. And I don't even think he's right for Cam. Like, I mean, he's going to be a dominant receiver, but he's basically a Harry mold, just way better. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Could you? I'm sure Julio could make anything work.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, he was good with Alabama quarterbacks, and they're notoriously terrible.
Is trading for a guy who's like...
They wouldn't trade Gilmore for him. That's insane. They'd trade a draft pick. The Falcons are rebuilding. They wouldn't take Gilmore. What would they want Gilmore for? They just drafted a cornerback in the first round.
This is just what was out there. But at what point is it like getting rid of one of your dominant DBs that we seem to have 28 of them?
It wouldn't be the number one guy. It would be like they would trade like Jawan Williams or...
Yeah, but you're not going to get anything like serious back for him. So
you could get guys that you need. You're not going to go for a top tier guy. I mean, what are we being delirious here to think that like we're one dominant player away from winning the Super Bowl this year? This team could win the Super Bowl if they got hot and like the offense got a little bit better.
Wouldn't that help if you had a receiver that drew a lot of attention, no matter how good he was?
But like, you could do it with fucking John Ross from Cincinnati that runs 4.2. Like,
I don't think he's going to help. Well, he's another guy. You're
not going to help. Nobody's going to help. I'm telling you, they have to win with what they have. They need what they could add is like a D lineman, middle of the road, a D lineman, D tackle, and an outside linebacker or a middle linebacker. That's what they need. Badly.
Bentley looked awesome.
Yeah, Bentley was good, but how far are you going to go with one linebacker?
Well, and God what's his name forbid. Practiced? Ushre, I can never say his name.
Ushe.
Ushe practiced again today. So he'll play comes back, and then you have those hopefully. Two. That could be a nice
combo. But again, you're one injury away from having Brandon Copeland as your middle linebacker. And then you like, or you're bringing in Cash Malua.
And you're just playing Duggar and Phillips.
Yeah, at middle linebacker.
In
and
the
then,
A-gap.
And then you play the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs. And
you're in real trouble.
And Derrick Henry runs for 700 yards like it's high school.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some flaws to this team, sure.
There's a couple issues here.
When you put it up like that, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that they need a D-tackle. They need to add a D-tackle and a middle linebacker. Kind of like what they did with... when they got like Casillas when they won the Super Bowl 2014, that linebacker that came in was just kind of solid.
Yeah.
Him and they added him and that edge rusher. Can't even remember his name. He was skinny. He was all right. He made a couple good plays, but whatever. They added him. I don't know. I think they could add a receiver too, but I don't know if it would help. I think a tight end would help more. Njoku from Cleveland seems to want out. But I mean, if you can't get on the field as a tight end, and after like 7 weeks here, or whatever, most of training camp, whatever training camp they had, and four games, or how many games they played? Five games? After five games, and you can't touch the ball, what makes you think a tight end from another team is going to come here and all of a sudden know what the fuck he's doing?
Yeah, I mean...
Unless they brought Gronkowski back or LG Crumpler, there's no other option. You have to play with what you got. And it's fumbling Ryan Izzo and Asiasi, who I'm convinced is going to be good, but Cam Newton refuses to throw to. He was open like four times in the flat last week, and Cam just didn't throw it to him. He could have got little seven-yard gains out of bounds, but doesn't throw it to him.
Can the offense move the ball against the defense in practice? Like,
I can't imagine.
Not be able to even come close.
Especially because they know what the hell they're doing. Like, okay, throw it to Cam. Like, there's no way these guys get open on the Patriots. Like, if they play man-to-man, there's not a chance. I can imagine that these
guys
get
open. Who's getting open? Yeah. No,
nobody. No. James White. That's it.
Yeah, he is.
James White smoking those linebackers.
James White is lighting it up.
And that's why they're fucking... That's why what they were talking about when, like... In training camp, they're like, the running backs look great. Yeah, because the linebackers are terrible. So they're just running and dominating them.
It's just painful to watch such a slow
team. I mean, it's like a slow death. Part of you always thinks there's a chance the Patriots are gonna just dominate and win, and then now you're just like, there's no chance like they're just gonna blow out a team.
I still thought they were gonna win that game. Oddly enough,
I did too. They could be undefeated right now. They literally could be undefeated. They took Seattle down to 1 yard line. They could have beat Kansas City if it had not been for Hoyer being and Cam getting COVID. And last week they had the ball with fucking 3 minutes to go and down six.
And they just moved the ball like they were kind of moving the ball. It's just every single time anything good happened, they would have a disastrous turnover.
Well, they can't make the easy plays like Brady and like Edelman used to make where it was like first. Or it would be like second and four, and they'd get a first down. Or they'd get it like down to third and one. We're constantly like third and eight, third and seven. You know what I mean? Cam will have to like run to the fuck, you know, scramble and maybe get it, or they'll do a weird fucking bubble screen for -8, and then
To be fair though, they do more trick plays than
anybody on earth.
Yeah, they love their trick plays. What if Julian work?
What if we made Julian Edelman quarterback and Cam Newton tight end? Because what it looked like was when Julian Edelman hit Cam Newton for that little tight end, around that little play was the best play of the game. And Cam broke a tackle like nobody else on the team can.
Yeah, no one else can. It can take a hit and move on.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's the only player I've seen break a tackle this year is Cam Newton. In he fucking got hit out of bounds again. Nobody even called it.
Yeah.
If Mahomes gets blown on out of bounds, they throw a penalty. Cam Newton got blatantly smashed at the 5-yard line, 6 feet out of bounds, and they were just like the ref was literally there. The ref might as well have been holding Cam Newton's hand, and he didn't throw a flag. I don't know. They gotta turn it around here. They're favored at home against San Francisco,
which I think with a week of practice, like we'll see the team we've saw the first few weeks. The first 3 weeks, they looked like, yeah,
okay.
You watch this team, but yeah, they're good. They're not, no one's good.
Teams are just, they're keying on Cam now and man covering the receivers, and they can't move. It's like they're going out as statues. Like, I don't know, like, have you ever watched Doctor Who? This is a ridiculous reference, but like, they're called Daleks, and they're robots. They just go, eliminate, and it's the stupidest fucking enemy in the history of TV, and I think they were invented in like 1913, so that they literally move, they're like little R2-D2s that just move at the slowest pace ever and just take like 90 degree turns, but at the slowest pace ever. That's what the receivers remind me of. They just go, eliminate,
turn here.
Yeah, exactly. 90, they like fucking basically tell you what they're gonna do, and anyway, Doctor Who dominates them, and that's basically what every defensive back is doing to our offense.
Yeah, it's just not.
You can't go into a fucking NFL season with a second receiver, Harry, who's like doing basically his second year receiver who's doing nothing. You know, everyone loves him for his blocking, and I'm going to defend him until I can no longer defend him anymore because he makes tough catches. But they didn't even throw to him. I mean, they threw to him, what, twice last game? One got tipped for an interception. The other one was, I don't know what happened. I mean, Harry and Cam fucked it up and should have been a first down. I don't know what the fuck happened.
The problem is we don't have a number one receiver.
Number one? I don't know if they have a number two receiver.
No, we don't have a number two. Yeah, we have a good number three. That's what we pride ourselves on.
We have probably the best number three in the league in Julian Edelman when he plays. And then Damier Bird is a good four. Right now, N'Keal Harry is fighting to get on the field. All right. If I had to put this into terms, if you put him on, like, the 2014 team, N'Keal Harry, with Gronkowski, LaFell, Amendola, Edelman, does N'Keal Harry see the field?
Who else is the... Oh, and Hogan was the other outside receiver.
No. Hogan wasn't on the team yet. That was 16. So, 14, the team that went to the play against Seattle, they had LaFell, Amendola, Edelman, Gronkowski.
One more receiver, because Amendola didn't really play during the regular season.
Right.
Which he kind of never did. Does he see the field?
Let's see. Well, let's play a game. 2014 Patriots have, let me see there, their wide receivers were, well, I can't remember this, final roster. Josh Boyce never played. Slater, obviously not. Brian Timms was the other guy. Never played.
No, that can be him.
Yeah, it was Amendola, Boyce, LaFell, Slater, and Timms. So they basically, but they used Tim Wright as a wide receiver, basically.
Yeah.
Touchdown Tim Wright. That's basically what they did. So would he make the field? Maybe he'd basically be Tim Wright. Like Tim Wright was the tight end that lined up as a wide receiver and did Aaron Hernandez plays. I don't know. Maybe he would. Maybe he'd beat out Tim Wright. Let's see. I want to see if he'd be, would he be on the field in 2016? Which the wide receivers there, Amendola, Edelman, Michael Floyd, Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell. I'd say no. Well, he wouldn't. Who would he beat out on that Michael Floyd?
No, he's not beating up. Malcolm Mitchell is what we've been missing for the last
Malcolm
five
Mitchell
years.
Would have been so much. Brady would still be here if Malcolm Mitchell was here.
He would have been the. He was catching 60. Imagine this. Imagine a receiver catching 8 balls in a game. Like, that doesn't even register.
An outside receiver.
I couldn't even come close. Like, Edelman, yeah, I guess. Like, he can he still did. Do it once. What do you have? 10 against Seattle?
But yeah, but again, from the slot, running against a safety.
Yeah, I just couldn't picture a guy catching 10 balls.
It doesn't exist anymore for us. It never I don't know if it has since, like, Randy Moss.
Yeah, I mean,
anybody on the outside, like, that... Name a wide receiver on the outside that ever did, like, has done that. I know, Edelman's outside receiver. Okay, he works both ways. But when he makes an abundance of catches, it's playing in the slot, getting, like, little 6-yard passes, first downs, shit like that. Who do they have? Okay, final roster 2018, the last Super Bowl team. Philip Dorsett, Edelman, Hogan, Patterson. Oh, God. He'd get on the team. He'd get on the field with this team.
They had some bad runs.
How did they have these receivers and win the Super Bowl with Dwayne Allen, broken down Rob Gronkowski? Well,
Gronk is what solves all these problems.
He did, but this is broken down Gronk, and they won the Super Bowl with this team.
What? At this point, like, we're just watching, like, the AFC East, right?
Yeah.
Like, we need to come in at least second in the AFC East to be able to make the playoffs.
Which, I mean, that's not going to be a problem. They're going to win. I think they're still going to win the AFC East.
It's going to be tough. What is...
Buffalo's 4-2.
And we're 2-3.
So what? I mean, what have they done? They had the easiest schedule, easiest first four games, and they've lost the last two. They lost to the Chiefs, and they lost to the team before that, which was the Titans. And we're going to beat them at least once.
Yeah.
They'll falter. Their defense hasn't been as good.
How about the Ryan Fitzpatrick benching?
I mean, what do you do? That guy is a glory. That's what he is there for.
I thought.
What is he thinking? He's like, he had all these comments like, I got fired. Like, I really thought I was part of it. It was, motherfucker, you've been on 20 teams to hold the spot warm for somebody else. Nobody thinks the future is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Nobody
I mean,
has
I guess
ever.
You take two at two. You get you, at some point you're putting them in, but it's not like they were losing.
I don't know. Did they pull them? I didn't even watch the game.
No, they didn't pull them. They won the game, and then they put two in at the end because they were blowing out.
Yeah.
And then they put two in. Now he's the starter.
They drafted him, what, number two overall?
I just thought.
What do they think? Ryan Fitzpatrick's the answer in Miami?
I thought he might have been.
Shut up, Ryan.
I thought it was a little disrespectful.
Fuck him. He's been in the league for 1,000 years. Never once has everyone been like, oh, this guy. Now we got something. Well, now we're cooking. Dude, wait, maybe Buffalo. I think Buffalo might have gave him an extension once, thinking he was the starter, and he just busted out. This guy is the king of being good for, like, the first three games of the season, like, lighting it up, scoring, like, fucking 40 points a game, and then absolute dog shit after.
I mean, I think
he'll throw, like, 6 touchdowns in one game and then throw 17 interceptions in the next.
It's just weird to bench a guy after... It would be like throwing a touchdown pass and then being like, yep, that's it. You're out. You're done. We had enough of you. It's like, what? What are you? Come on.
I don't know. Ryan Fitzpatrick, get a hold of yourself. You haven't fucking done anything your whole life. You're literally a fucking Harvard football player that got to play 27 years in the NFL. Just be happy. Like, you're a backup. Look at your face. You're a backup face.
He does have a backup face.
He's not. Nobody's interested in your fucking starter ability. Do you think people are coming to see the Miami Dolphins to see Ryan Fitzpatrick throw?
I tell you, we have a tough November coming up.
Yeah. This is make or break time.
Yeah, because now we have Niners, Bills, Jets, Ravens, Texans, Cardinals.
Oh, fuck me.
That's
so
our...
say it again. We have to win.
If you go 3-3 there, you're in trouble. You have to have a winning record after this.
Oh yeah.
If you go 3-3, you're
so say so you're... what are we now? 2-3? 2-3, so let's count down our next games. 49ers, I think they're going to win. Is Buffalo on the road?
Buffalo is at Buffalo.
I think they'll lose that game. 3-4.
At New York Football Jets.
Dominate, win. So 4-4.
Home against the Ravens?
Probably lose. 4-5.
I think we could win that. Home against the Texans? Oh, at Houston, sorry.
We'll win that game. And then you'll be
home
5-5.
Home against the Cardinals. Helps you play Arizona in November.
And you'll be home.
Hopkins, kind of.
6-5.
Kyler Murray, like.
If fuck they, that. 6-5.
Then a good Chargers team.
7-5. We win that game.
At the Rams.
That's the same week. That's a problem. So they're going to lose one of those games.
Yeah.
7-6.
At Miami?
The win. 8-6.
A home against Buffalo, a home against the Jets.
10-6.
10-6.
10-6. You heard it here first, folks.
We're going to go 8-3 to finish the season.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's kind of what they do.
Tough but fair. Yeah. Listen, they got to get hot. I mean, they're going to lose tough games. And then they're going to go on the road because nobody's going to want to see this team in the winter. We're Team X, baby. We're going to have a good defense. We're going to have a solidified run game by then.
And they have to win a game they shouldn't win.
They're going to have to do it. If they're going to want to win anything, they have to win several games they shouldn't win. One would be like at Buffalo would be the first one.
Yeah, that would be a nice
home against Baltimore would be a good one to win.
They have to win some of these games. So
they literally practice. I mean, the only difference between Baltimore and the Patriots offense is that Baltimore is a good tight end.
Yeah, and a receiver who might be able to catch the ball, even though I can't name him.
Who do they have? I mean, they got what? Marquise Hollywood Brown? I don't know. Has he done anything? Do they even throw to anybody but Mark Andrews? And then Lamar Jackson runs?
Lamar Jackson throws for more than 85 yards, so.
I don't know about
someone's
that.
Someone's catching the ball.
Questionable. Yeah, we'll see. All right, so San Francisco, 2.5 points at home. What do you got this week?
Jimmy G coming back. I mean,
Jimmy G. Is there a chance, by the way, in your mind, if Jimmy G doesn't perform this year, they could cut him for nothing. Say San Francisco cuts him. Do the Patriots go after Jimmy G or keep Cam?
I don't think they're going to keep Cam because they're not going to pay Cam what he Cam wants. Is going to get.
What is Cam's Cam going to get?
He's going to get decent money.
What has he shown you other than like against Seattle that warrants him top tier money right now?
Well, I guess the problem with the NFL is we're stuck in such like a either win or rebuild, win or rebuild, win or rebuild mode.
Yeah.
That no one wants to go, yeah, like 10-6.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think they're going to stick with Cam after this year.
It's going to be tough. We'll see. I mean, it all depends on how he finishes the season. If they, like, go to, like, the divisional round and compete against, like, a really good team on the road or something, maybe he sticks around another year and they build some receivers around him, tight ends and shit, but I don't know. Depends. I just think Belichick wants Garoppolo so bad to be his quarterback.
Good quarterbacks, like, start leaving teams that they shouldn't. Like, Deshaun Watson leaves Houston or something. They're going to have to, you know, fill these holes. So, like, you could see Cam winding up in a team like that. Like,
yeah, a team where
Atlanta or something like Matt Ryan's done or Stafford's done. One of these guys where, like,
and Cam is from Atlanta.
And you're still in the hunt where you could still potentially win, you know?
Yeah.
That's what team Cam could go to and maybe. But it's tough. The Pats are kind of the only one this year.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see. Anyway.
But Jimmy G coming back, I feel like
it's almost in the cards. Like, wouldn't that be perfect? Everyone would get what they wanted. Brady got, what did he get, two more Super Bowls, or maybe got at least one more Super Bowl after Jimmy left, and then Jimmy comes back anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
not that he's ever done anything.
I can't even handle those arguments anymore. No, I mean, like, they honestly make me sick. Even the arguments now where it's like, Brady, how do you like the Patriots without Brady? It's like, whatever.
I love the Patriots without Brady. Yeah. I hated that Gronk scored a touchdown. I hated it. I fucking hated it. He caught that ball. I was like, ugh, fuck.
He's
limbering up out there. The fucking fake injuries are fucking going away again.
He still looks kind of slow, though.
I don't know, man. I mean, he's not super fast, but he's open.
Yeah, he is open. That's true. We've
never seen one of those guys.
We would kill for an open. Anyways, Jimmy G's come back. I still think it's going to be kind of a shootout, to be honest. I think the Pats are going to score some points. I get 26-24 Patriots.
Okay, I think the Patriots are going to win this one. Just only because I can't tell you. I think the last time we talked about it, the last time the Patriots lost three in a row was 2002.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to practice this week. They're going to be hot to trot. They're excited. Get Cam going again. Get our offensive line. All the reinforcements are coming back. Whole offensive line will be back this week. If we don't have any more COVID outbreaks, which they haven't had anybody yet, hopefully they're in a fucking bubble. Like, enough of this shit already. Sleep at the stadium. Fucking, they're not letting fans in.
Yeah.
Enough with your family. No one wants to need to see your family.
Is it bad that, all right, go ahead. Give me your score.
Whatever. I think the Patriots win this game. San Francisco's got a good D, but I think the Patriots are going to come out there and they're going to win 24-18.
Ooh.
With a stop at the end.
By the way, I called it a shootout 26-24. That's where I think the offense is.
That is a shootout for this offense.
If we score 26, that is an absolute shootout.
How much
shootout
did they score against Seattle? Seattle must stink on defense. They scored over 30.
It was 30.
And they scored 36 against the Raiders.
Yeah, they put up a lot of points.
But
the Raiders, they
touchdown
just look good, though.
They scored a defensive touchdown on that game. All right. Well, anyway, go Sachems. Remember, get after us on at Brady Disciple on Twitter, MalcolmGoPodcast@gmail.com. Getting a lot of emails. I respond, but I haven't been listening. I'm putting it on the pod, but that's my bad. Anyway, we'll talk to you next week. Go Pats. And I love you.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Do your job. All right, don't try to make too much out of it. Just do your job. 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honor. Your family's honor. We are three.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's intercepted. Intercepted by Malcolm Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler.
Stepping. Warner goes back to throw. And here's the blitz by Mike Vrabel. The pass is snap ball down, kick up, kick is on the way, and it is good!
It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the
league! Hey! Did it!
I love you, man.
Did it, bro. I love you. I love you.
You're the greatest quarterback in the world, man.
Hey, I love you, man.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.